Well, I want you to open your Bible to Acts chapter 13. I am going to be using the New Living Translation, even though I'm going to go back to a verse in the New King James Version in a moment. But Acts chapter 3 is where we are tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about be on the lookout for opportunities. Be on the lookout for opportunities. And you know, for example, I was thinking about that today. Like I had an opportunity today I didn't know I was going to have when I started this day. I didn't know I was going to get to preach tonight, but I'm glad I am. God calls a man to preach, he's glad to preach. And if God's called a man to preach, he'll have some sermons in his soul that he may need to work on a little bit. But if he's having to have a heart attack on a short notice to preach, then, you know, I don't know about that. Now, if you study and prepare, you'll do a better job. But God will always give you a message. And I think he's giving you one tonight about opportunities. It's really been on my heart. Now, for example, if I told you to be on the lookout for snakes, you would know exactly what to be looking for. If I told you, for example, to be on the lookout for glass, somebody dropped a glass, maybe in your kitchen, glass went everywhere, you tried to clean it up the best you could. Sometimes that happens in our home, and I'll say to Dottie, because Dottie, I guess it's okay if I say this, she likes to go barefooted. And I say, Dottie, you shouldn't walk barefooted. You ought to have on shoes. And she does listen to me sometime, but sometimes not. But I'll say, Dottie, I've gotten up all the glass I can see, but be on the lookout for glass. Well, she knows what she's looking for. If I said to you, look, they've just done a roof next door at your house. And if you've ever had that done, or your house, you know nails can just get everywhere. And I say, you better be on the lookout for nails in the driveway or up against the curb. Because there's no telling how many nails that machine didn't find when they were trying to pick up all those nails. You'd know exactly what you're looking for. You're looking for nails. If I told you to be on the lookout for heavy Houston traffic, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. You'd be very familiar with that. But here's the deal. If I said to you, or someone said to me, now, you need to be on the lookout for opportunities. Well, now, that's not as clear as glass and nails and these things, snakes, opportunities. The fact of the matter is, I am convinced, and you would agree, I think, that all of us in the course of life have many opportunities that come that we never even see the opportunities. Other times, opportunities come. We see the opportunity, but we don't seize it. We don't do anything with it. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about opportunities. As I was thinking about that today, you know, all of us have so many opportunities that we need to be on lookout for. And in our scripture tonight, we see three opportunities. There are really more, but we're going to look at three that Peter had that you and I have every day of our life. So if you look with me in Acts chapter number 3, if you have your little midweek worship sheet, you might want to write down the word circumstances. We all have opportunities in our circumstances. You know, much of our life is lived just in the circumstances of the day. You know, as I've journeyed through this day, now many of the things that I was going to be involved in today and have been, I knew in advance. I knew about this meeting, that meeting, this phone call, this, that, and yon. But much of my day, maybe yours, like I just had circumstances that came my way that I had not anticipated, I didn't know anything about. And sometimes we get so caught up trying to deal with our circumstances, we don't see the opportunities that we have. Now, look with me in Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. We're going to kind of back up here a little bit before we get to verse 11 and 12. It says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Now I want to stop just a moment. If you were here Sunday morning, I mentioned about translations, and I want to encourage you. I failed to ask how many people picked up a translation booklet. That booklet is about 3 years old. But if you've never read that Understand the Bible, the translation booklet, I tell you, it'll make you appreciate your Bible even more, whatever translation you use. But I did say this about the New Living Translation. It's very readable. You don't have to go get a commentary. You don't have to read footnotes. It doesn't say it may mean this or it may mean that. It's very, very readable. But having said that, I wouldn't want that to be my only translation. I fall back on the New King James, and ESV is a newer translation than some of the older ones, but there are many good translations. But for example, look in, if you have a New King James, in verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." Well, now what hour is that? Well, see, if you read in the New Living, it says 3 o'clock afternoon prayer service. You know, the Jewish people, they had prayer 3 daily times a day. They had the daybreak 6 a.m. That was daybreak for them. All right, at 9 a.m. would have been the first. That'd be 9 a.m. That'd be a prayer time. And then noon, that'd be the third hour. 6 is beginning, 6, 7, 8, 9. So 9 o'clock. And then at noon, that'd be the 6th hour. Daybreak 6, noon, that's 6 hours. And then the ninth hour, of course, would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So the Jewish people that were devout, all Jewish people are not devout, just like all Christians are not devout. But devout Jewish people in the day of Jesus, they were going to observe these prayer times. So that's what's going on here. It says they approached the temple. A man lame from birth was being carried. Each day he was put in beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg for people from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them, eagerly expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand, helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Now all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Now look in verse 12. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. And then the address follows. We'll pick that up in just a moment. Now, the point is, and if you have the, I'm going back to the New King James. If you look in verse 12 in the New King James, it says, when Peter saw it, I-T. And the question is, like, what does it mean? What was this it that Peter saw? Well, the it was the opportunity that he had to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what we need to see. We need to see the opportunities that we have to present the Lord Jesus. His circumstances, there he was in the circumstance that had brought him to that point. But God had something for him in that circumstance. I believe many times we're in situations, and there's something God has for us in that situation, not every time, but sometimes, that we miss somehow or another. We don't see that opportunity to do the various thing. Like what Peter did, he saw the opportunity to present Christ, which he goes on to do. If you look back in verse 12, he saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, What is so surprising about this? And why stare at us, though as we have made this man walk by our own power, our godliness? And we'll pick back up there in just a moment. So, you know, I just, as I was thinking about this today, I thought, you know, I have a lot of opportunities, I know, that maybe in some abbreviated way, maybe in some, even if it's just to give a gospel tract, but from time to time to just have the opportunity to share the gospel. I'm just saying, whether it be a crowd, always have your antennas up. And I'll come to it as we get later, but the Holy Spirit will just kind of give you an urge that, hey, you need to, here's your opportunity to share the gospel. And those opportunities are seldom and rare where you'll just get in a situation and that opportunity door opens. We need to say, God, help me to see it and help me to seize it. And what a blessed thing that is. Now, another deal, another opportunity we have in life, and this next one, all of us have. I mean, it's like I've not had an opportunity all day to share the gospel. I've talked to people about God. I've prayed with people. I just left a 5:30 meeting where I prayed with three other men. Myself was in that room praying about a matter for them, something they're going through. And it's not that I have not used my opportunity to mention God, but as far as just sharing with someone today how to be saved today, I've not had that opportunity. I've just not been in a circumstance around people that would have been the thing to do. I mean, everybody I've been around today is a Christian. But now that's not, but you say, well, how's that? Well, that's possible because I've been in a church office all day. You know, we hope all the staff's saved. You know, I say to the staff sometimes, if you won't tell people about Jesus, you need to get it out of your office and go out where people are. They're all over the place, everywhere we go. So I'm praying for myself, encourage you to pray for yourself. As we go through the just normal circumstances of everyday life, it won't be every day, but there will be those days, those opportunities come. You really do have an opportunity to share Christ. And you plant that seed, and God will bless it. Number two thing, we have opportunities to give God credit. Now, here's something. We have this opportunity every day. Let's go back, if you will. We'll just go back to verse 12. I'm reading from the New Living. It says, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd, people of Israel. He said, what is so surprising about this? Why stare at us, though we had made this man walk by our own power and godliness? Now look what he said. For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant, Jesus, by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate. Despite Pilate's decision to release him, you rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. And then look in verse 16. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. Well, you talk about Peter giving God the glory for healing this lame man. What a lesson to be learned. Always, you know, give God the credit. Now, you know, God provides different ways to meet needs. And he does it at different times to meet needs. There's no question about that. And our part is to do our part. But then beyond our part, God does what we can't do. And when God does things, we need to be alert, not only to recognize this is what God has done, but give God glory and credit for that. We need to guard against taking credit for what God does. If you will, I'm going to turn back to 1 Corinthians. If you'll turn back to 1 Corinthians in your Bible just for a moment, or turn over, 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3. There are two verses that always bless me, that remind me that God is the one who does what God does. And we don't need to take credit for what God does. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, these believers at Corinth, they were preacher worshipers. One were worshiping Paul and one Apollos, and you know, that's a sad thing. But look in verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. He said, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one." Now look what Paul said. He said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." If your Bible underlined, you'll underline those words. God gave the increase. Look in verse 7. "So then neither is he who plants anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." You know, I know you know this, and I know this, but I need to work at never forgetting that. I need to work at remembering that. It happened the last two Sundays in a row. We come out here the first service, Dr. Hines preached a wonderful sermon about saying yes. Gave his invitation. We saw no visible results of people being saved. Now, you never know what God's doing. It's just what we came out to the second service, and it was 17 people stood and made a decision of the Lord in the second service. Now, you know, you can talk about what that's all out of our hands. Like, I come out here this last Sunday, first service, I give the invitation, and we had no visible decisions. That's not normal. We normally have decisions during the service, more in the second, because there are more unchurched people in the second service. But I go out here in the second service last Sunday, preach the exact same sermon, gave the invitation, 11 people stand, make a decision for the Lord. We go over a new member luncheon. I mean, the last thing we thought about was people making decisions, new member luncheon. But we've learned, and John has learned, when you get that many people in a room, there may be some people there that have a decision to make. That when clarified, they may, and we get over 6 people. Now, we could stand back and say, well, you know, what happened was you gave a better invitation at 11. John did a great job. Let me tell you something. It's not mine nor John. Listen, God is the God of the increase. And now, where that gets to us as a church, you know, we as a church are involved in many good things, not only in the church, beyond the walls of the church. And I always am somewhat uncomfortable talking about, but yet you want to give God glory, but there's a fine line between giving God glory and giving yourself glory. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We don't want to come down to church every Sunday and hear how good we are, how good our church is. I'll tell you what, none of us are good. It's how bad we are. You have to be bad before you can get saved. We're bad folks who got saved. Who's good down here on Sunday is God. And whatever happens at church, God is the God of the increase. Now, that doesn't mean we're just to sit back and do nothing and say, okay, God's just going to do it all. No, he's the God of the increase. We plant, others water. Others may have planted what we water. But the bottom line is, God is the God of the increase. I can't save people. When you present the gospel to somebody, you tell someone how to be a Christian. You should feel no pressure that they make a decision for Jesus. You want them to make a decision for Jesus. You want to present it in a way that's clear so they will do that. But the fact of the matter is, it has nothing to do with you. It has all to do with God. And we just need to always guard against. Like I have some preacher friends that I always just dread having lunch with. One particular. And that one I really like. But all that one does is tell me how all the good things his church is doing. You know, boom, 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 boom. Well, I'm glad that, you know, good things are happening in his church. But, of course, I wish sometimes he'd just ask me, is your church doing anything good? I'd like to tell him things too. You know, maybe we preachers are worse than that than the lay people, but I want to encourage you. We do want to give God glory. And we do want to point out things that God is doing, but be sure when we do, we make clear it's not because of us. All we are is channels through which God does his work. So I encourage you, and that may not be an area where you have a problem, but now think about it this way. Think about things in your life that God has really worked, he's answered a prayer, or he's met a need. It's just, and you don't, you know, it has to just come from the heart and be sincere about how God has done this, that, and yonder, and give him credit for that. Now, the other side of that coin is, you know, God blesses what we give God to bless. Like, you give God zero, and he'll bless it by 1,000, and you'll still have zero. God blesses effort. Could I have an amen to that? I say that to the church staff. They've heard me say that so much. When I just started, their eyes roll. God blesses effort. If you do nothing, you won't get much. If you just get out there and try to do something for God, God will bless it. And I just encourage you, give him the glory when he does. Now, the other thing that I mentioned tonight here that I see in the life of Peter in this scripture, and that is we have opportunities just to mention Jesus. Now, giving God credit for things, I can't imagine. Like, I thought about tonight giving God credit for things in my own life. I really thought about that. And I thought, well, if I do that, I feel like I'm focusing on me. I'm not very comfortable with that. I think about just miracles that God's done in our church, and there's so many miracles that God's done in this church, and you know those. But I want you to think about things God's done in your life and communicate it with people by giving God glory. Now, sometimes I'm in a situation where I hear people share about, that one person be sharing about maybe they've got a child that's not living right. I'll just use that for an example. And somebody else will speak up in that little group and say, well, you know, I just always prayed my children would just live godly lives. And I'm telling you what, my kids have just, God's heard my prayers and God's blessed. Well, how do you think this soul over here, this person over here may have prayed more fervently than this person over here? Like, why one's one way and one's the other? Those are the secret things. Lord, I can't answer that. I we'll know one day. But I'm saying we need to be careful when we're giving God glory about things God has done in answer to our prayers, because it may be somebody in the little group that has prayed just as earnestly and sincerely about something very similar, and it hadn't happened, and they get to thinking something's wrong with their prayers, or they think this person is some super prayer or something. Well, I leave that with you to ponder. Let's look at this other Abba. We have opportunities to mention Jesus. Now, let's go down here in verse 13, which is exactly what he did. I'm trying to find verse 13. In this translation, the verses are not here. It is. It says, for it is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, who had brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate. And then we went on and read that a while ago in verse 16. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. Now, it's interesting. In verses 13 and following, now don't do this while I'm teaching, but maybe for your own fun. I mentioned Sunday that one of the keys of understanding a scripture passage, whether it be maybe one verse or two or three or four or five or more, especially if it's more than just two or three verses, if you look at that section of scripture you're going to read, as you read it two or three times, and for me, I have to read it more than once to really become real familiar with it. Pay attention to what word occurs often. And I showed you that in the sermon this past Sunday. Now, if you look at this portion of Scripture, and I did it today in two different translations, And the numbers were different because the translations are different. But the name Jesus or a name implying Jesus or another name given for Jesus just keeps showing up. In fact, in the translation I'm holding, I went down to the other day and I see if I can find the starting verse 13, I have Jesus circled, Jesus circled. I go down to verse 16, I have Jesus circled. In verse 16, Jesus circled again. Verse 17, Jesus circled again. Then down here further, in verse 18, the Messiah. Over here, Jesus, the Messiah. And so what I'm saying is, as you look at what Peter said, he's mentioning the name Jesus over and over and over. Now, you know, in our day, the name Jesus, for whatever reason, has become kind of offensive to people. Not to you and not to me. But I find myself in situations, for example, over the years, I've been asked to pray at various things. And the person who invited me to pray right before it was time for me to pray, or maybe when I first arrived, would say something like this. Now, Dr. Edmund, if you don't mind, first we want you to know how much we appreciate you coming to pray. But if you don't mind, there are people here of all faiths, people here of no faiths. If you just not end your prayer mentioning Jesus, it would probably be good. I've never one time honored that. I've never one time honored that. I'm going to end my prayer in Jesus' name. Now, we have friends that are Jewish friends. We were with a couple a few weeks ago for a meal in a restaurant. Jewish friends. Now, I understand they don't believe what I believe about Jesus. Now, we've had this conversation before. One night, Dottie saw me spend over an hour in another restaurant going over what we believe is how you become a Christian. And these Jewish friends were very respectful. They listened. And they chose not to make any decision. So it's not like they've not been told. They have. But there's just a point out there where every time you're around people of other faith, you can't just say, now let me tell you, I know I told you the last time we were here, I'm going to tell you again. I think you drive them farther than draw them near. But be that as it may, before we started to eat, I thought, in fact, I hadn't had this conversation with Dottie. She observed it. I said, listen, if you don't mind, let me have a blessing for our food. And they said, oh, yes, please. And I prayed a prayer. And I said, in Jesus' name, amen. I didn't say it in a way to flaunt, I said a sincere prayer. What was really interesting to me on that visit, and this is what you and I have not talked about, the man said, thank you so much for that prayer. He said, you know, God is so good to us. So now see, that Jewish person didn't use the name Jesus. They used the name God. Now, did I win or lose anything? Well, I wasn't trying to win or lose anything. I'm just trying to live what I believe. And sometimes you never know what the Holy Spirit is doing. I just can't help but believe in my heart that God's not working in that person's heart. And I pray that. Now, this whole deal about mentioning the name of Jesus, to you and to me, our Wednesday night group, this is just what we do. I mean, we talk to people about Jesus, not as much as we should. I'm sure we probably don't mention, say Jesus as much. I think one thing that will help us, there's that old saying, practice makes perfect. Well, there's some truth to that. I want to encourage you, here's something you might want to do. Just practice saying Jesus. Just yourself. Just practice. Before you do that, practice just thinking Jesus. You know, you can think something and not verbalize it. Just practice thinking Jesus. Then when you've done that a little bit, move to that second thing, then practice saying Jesus, just where you are by yourself. If you just say a word, you've learned this already a lot. You know, we hear our words, and what you hear over and over and over and over, you become familiar, you become accustomed, you feel good about it. So I'm saying this to you. If you'll just practice saying Jesus, it will be a natural thing for you to say Jesus. And when that opportunity comes, that would be a great, great time for you to put into practice what you've been practicing. Now, you know, as I thought about this, be on the lookout for opportunities. Well, we all want to be on the lookout for opportunities. I don't try to create opportunities. I just want to see opportunities. I think sometimes even in church work, we try to create opportunities. I don't think what happened at New Member Lunch last Sunday, we didn't create that. That never was said. Now, we got them on that room. We're going to we're going to see how many of them might want to make a decision for Jesus. We just had the opportunity. It created itself. And John saw it. And John did a very, very good job with it. Now, I think the takeaway of what I have here tonight would be a good thing for all of us to do is every morning, before we get about our day's work, ask God to help us see in our circumstances the opportunities that we'll have that day to give God credit for something. Now, that's easy. I mean, you don't have to memorize any Bible verses to do that. You just say, God, now today, in my circumstances that I'm going to go through today, I know many of them, but others I don't know. But God, today, would you please just let me see the opportunities I have today to give you credit for something that you've done. And I think you'll be amazed how that'll work. If you just do that day after day after day, it makes you consciously aware of that. I think many of us have been Christians so long that we're just familiar with being a Christian and we don't think that way. We probably thought more that way when we first became a Christian. I saw this little boy out here last Sunday. His sister had been baptized? The sister had been baptized. If you were in that service, you saw the lady that had her head covered, baptized. And I'm watching that, and I'm thinking, are we baptized in a Muslim? What is the deal here? Well, when I'm going over to the new member lunch, they're coming out of the new member room. They've been down the new member room because that was her brother, wasn't it, Pam? Yeah, her brother, 12 years old, had made his decision. And we just kind of met out there. Dottie was right with me, and she was talking to another family about something. And the little boy, 12 years old, he's really a pretty good size boy to be 12. He was so excited about he had asked Jesus in his heart. And he said, could I get my picture made with you? And I said, absolutely. And then the lady, his sister that had been baptized, said, well, I want to get in the picture too. I said, well, we'll do it if you'll send me a copy of the picture. And they did. And it was a beautiful sight to see how that smile on his face. And, you know, they were just giving God praise for what had happened. Sister baptized, brother saved. Now, you and I have already hopefully been saved and baptized, but God's doing things in all of our lives. So ask God to help you see in your circumstances those opportunities. That's the easy thing to do. Now, a little harder thing to do. Ask God, as you go through the day, not to be some super spiritual person, but to be, you know, not like it's memorized, but in real who you are, mention Jesus when you have that opportunity. Now, that doesn't mean every time a waiter comes up, a waitress comes up, you need to look up and say, Jesus. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. But, in fact, the other day we went to a restaurant leaving, and John asked the waitress, where do you go to church? That's how he got into that. And she said, I'm a Muslim. And she and John had a little conversation at that point. That's kind of where that thing ended. But it's okay. It's okay. He asked her a good question. Where do you go to church? Nothing wrong with that question. She wasn't offended. She answered a question. Now, she never did say where she went. She just said, I'm a Muslim. I have a feeling she didn't go anywhere, but I don't know. That's not for my judgment. But ask God to help you see appropriate ways to see Jesus. And then the harder thing to do, ask God to help you see the opportunities you have just in your circumstances. When those opportunities come, that you can present to people, share with people about how you became a Christian or how you can become a Christian. And you say, well, how will I know when they are? I'll tell you, I can't put my finger on it and say, now this is it. But I'll say it this way. The Holy Spirit has his way of just putting that feeling in you that you know that's what you need to do. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, I don't know them. You know, way to say, okay, one, two, three. I just know this. When God is impressing upon me that I need to do something, I know that's different than when I just say, hey, there's something I really need to do. And that may be a true thing. I really may need to do that. But when God, when I have that feeling, John had that feeling, I get my nights mixed up. The other night, I think it was Sunday night. No, Monday afternoon. He just had an overwhelming feeling to go down to the hospital and pray with Vi Cooper. Now, at that point, she's unconscious. That's Monday. Last Sunday, she's watching a sermon on the phone in the hospital. But he just had that feeling. And lo and behold, not long after that, they did get her home. Of course, it was with the Lord. She went home. But I've so many times, and Dottie knows this to be, I've just over the years just said, I just really feel like I need to go see this person. I just have that strong feeling. And I learned this the hard way. Every time that I've ever had that stronger feeling to do something like that, I mean, it's been like 10 o'clock at night. Later than that, on occasion, somebody could be down at the medical center. I just say, I just know that's what I need to do. Every time I didn't do it, they died before I ever saw them. And after that happened to me a few times, I've just said, God, I'll never make that mistake again. If I have a feeling that strong to do whatever it is, whether it's to share with somebody Christ or whatever, I'm never going to say, now I know what you're saying, boy, if you ever have that feeling toward me, you come on down. Don't you be disobedient and let me die down here. Well, your life and death is not dependent on my obedience. I'm just telling you my experience. Maybe I was out of order telling you my experience. But let me ask you, have you not had times when you just knew this is what God was telling you to do? Could I have an amen or no? Amen. Yeah, we do. It could be to read the Bible. I know that's what I need, to pray, to go to church, whatever, to tithe. You know, God put on my heart. I'm going to mention this maybe Sunday, maybe I'll mention it soon. God put on my heart about these new tithers, and I had the ideas. I prayed about that. First, I thought 50, then I thought, no, I get 100. And I prayed about that a few days, and I thought, God said to me, 50. Forget 100. It's not how, you're not trying to see how, I want you to do everything you can to get 50 new tithers. 50. Once I realized that was God, I think me was 100. I thought, man, 100 new tithers. But I felt God really overwhelmed me about the 50. I have 11 so far. 11, but hey, it's just March. People have to think about that kind of thing. And plus, I don't know. There may be other new ones that I'm not aware. Maybe they started tithing and didn't let me know. But I know of 11. But I'm just saying, that was a real deal to me. It was from God, from my heart. And I'm just saying to you, when you have those heart feelings about something, you just say, hey, that's my opportunity. God help me to seize it. Well, Father, you know, this is a great portion of Scripture, God, to be on lookout for opportunities. Opportunities to encourage people, opportunities to bless people. Lord, today I call one of our members, one of our older members. It was their birthday. I can't call everybody on their birthday, but this one I knew about, and I did. And then later today, her deacon went and visited her. And she was telling him, he sent me a text, what a blessed encouragement it was. The pastor called, wished me happy birthday. Well, I just felt so strongly to do that. I felt so strongly to do that. I called another member today that was going through something very difficult. And I said, I want to pray with you. And they said, before you pray, thank you for calling. I just felt overwhelmed. That's what I need to do. God, there's so many who need to be called and seen. But Lord, when you put these feelings in us that's so strong that we know it's not us, but it's you. Help us be obedient is my prayer. Now tonight, if you have a feeling that you need to settle your salvation, that's different than me just saying, now tonight we're going to give the opportunity. But inside of you tonight, you have a strong feeling. Tonight's the night I need to settle my salvation. Maybe you've been thinking about that a while, maybe just tonight. But you've never said, Lord Jesus, I must get this done. I must get this finished. Pray this little prayer. Just say, God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died for my sins. And God, I want to know I'm saved. And I'm asking you tonight, God. Maybe I've done it before, but tonight I settle it forever. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. Help me to be a Spirit-filled Christian, God. In Jesus' name.